It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It is Wednesday, June 8th, 2022. On our ship schedule today, we have 8 inbounders, including a couple of ships that are part of the Rose Festival fleet heading to Portland. We have 5 outbounders, and we have 7 vessels anchored in the river near Astoria. In our marine weather forecast, we have southwest winds 10 to 15 knots today, easing to 5 in the afternoon. Wind waves from the southwest 1 foot high at 4 seconds. Southwest swells 5 feet at 9 seconds apart, and expect a change in the weather toward the stormy on Thursday. So we have a lot happening on the river today. The Rose Festival fleet starts making its way to Portland. Today and tomorrow, we'll see those ships on the river. Let's take a look at our inbounders. Early this morning, we saw the HMCS Brandon and the HMCS Edmonton, Canadian Navy ships that are part of the Rose Festival fleet arriving from Vancouver, British Columbia, headed for Portland. They probably passed Astoria around 5:30 and 6 a.m., and it'll take about 8 hours for them to get upriver to Portland. Next inbound is the Maria D, arriving from Vancouver, B.C., headed for Vancouver, Washington's anchorage. She'll be picking up wheat. Passing Astoria around 9:30 a.m., she'll be in Vancouver by about 3:30 p.m. The Plumeria Leader is a car carrier with Toyotas on board, arriving from Vancouver, B.C., headed for Portland. Passing Astoria around 1:30 p.m., she'll be in Portland around 7:30 p.m. And the Jupiter Star is a petroleum tanker arriving from China, headed for Vancouver. She'll pass Astoria around 6:30 p.m. She'll be in Vancouver by about 12:30 a.m. on Thursday morning, so a little bit past midnight. And the Eurofilla is arriving from El Salvador, headed for Rainier's Anchorage opposite Longview on the Columbia River. She'll be picking up logs at the port of Longview eventually. She will pass Astoria around 7 p.m. and be in Rainier by 10:30 p.m. And she is named for a species of eucalyptus tree that grows in Indonesia. And if you'd like to see the rest of the ship schedule for the day, you'll find it on my website at shipreport.net. Well, today I wanted to elaborate a little more on a story that I posted on my Ship Report Facebook page the other day about a man who apparently tried to float across the Columbia River on a makeshift raft, which essentially looked in the picture I saw online like a pile of wood debris, but it did float. He nearly died in the attempt, but was rescued just before his raft encountered the Bonneville Dam. So here's a bit of that story. This is from KOIN Coin in Portland. A man drifting down the Columbia River in a makeshift raft was rescued by tugboat crews just minutes before he would have been swept into the Bonneville Dam. The man was hitchhiking from Spokane, Washington, to Newport, Oregon. After he was tired from hitchhiking, he made a raft out of wood and rope and began traveling the Columbia River near Hood River Bridge. Police told Coin News that he called 911 reporting that he was stuck in the middle of the channel and could not make it to shore. He told 911 dispatch he did not have a life vest and did not know how to swim. It turned out that he'd been on that raft for 24 hours. So that's the story from Coin News. So at first, I did a giant eye roll about this, like, what? And I think a lot of people did. But then I thought about it and realized it might be another good opportunity to talk about how things work here on the water, because this person displayed an alarming lack of understanding of where he was. But maybe he didn't know. Those of us who live here on the edge of the world in the lower Columbia region are pretty familiar with how the river works. The river and the ocean here are mighty powerful and considerably more dangerous than other rivers and even ocean shores elsewhere. So it's conceivable that this person really thought that they could float across the lazy river to the other side and continue hitchhiking, which is what I'm assuming that he thought he could do. This person was traveling from Spokane, where the most significant nearby waterway is the lake at Coeur d'Alene. A lake is not a river, is not an ocean. So I thought it might be good to go over a few things in a sincere way for visitors. The Columbia River is a big river. Here are some stats about it from Wikipedia. The Columbia River is the largest river in the Pacific Northwest. It originates in the Rocky Mountains of British Columbia and flows to the Pacific Ocean here where we live. The river is 1,243 miles long, and its largest tributary is the Snake River. The river system is navigable by ships up to Portland and tugboats and barges beyond that as far as Lewiston, Idaho. Its drainage basin is roughly the size of France and extends into 7 U.S. states and a Canadian province. It is the 4th largest river in the United States by volume, and the Columbia has the greatest flow of any North American river entering the Pacific. So a lot of water and a great deal of force and power to contend with for anyone venturing out on this waterway in any floating thing, including a raft where you have no propulsion and no way to steer. Because this is a big river, current is always an issue. If you are far upriver, you need to be thinking in terms of downriver current. If you are closer to the ocean, where we live here, you need to be aware that the river changes direction and flows backwards when the tide begins to rise. So all that water turns around and flows backwards upriver when the tide is rising. So the forces at play here are huge. These are all very important things to know if you're going to go out on the river. Just yesterday morning, I was out for a walk looking over the river in Astoria. The river was calm and placid looking. It looked so tranquil. Then I looked at one of the navigational buoys in the river and at the huge stream of turbulent water just downstream from it. I looked at my tide app. It was the middle of the max ebb, the time when the current is strongest in the river, among the most dangerous times to be out there. So it looked calm, but it certainly was not. One thing the river never does in any consistent way here is flow sideways or crosswise from bank to bank. So for this person who was standing on the edge of this waterway, maybe referencing the only other waterway he knew, a lake, tired of hitchhiking, perhaps thinking he could take a leisurely float across to the other side, that was never going to happen. Now, while you can't necessarily know everything you need to know when you're a stranger in a new place, you can learn a lot by observing your surroundings. Mariners certainly do it, and you should do it if you're going to interact with this river in any way. Look at what the river is doing and pay attention at all times to what's happening if you're out on it. Had this person observed the river, watched it for even a few minutes, he would have been able to see that it was flowing downstream and that he'd likely have no control over where he ended up. Had he taken those few minutes, he could have saved himself a lot of grief. He was lucky that his cell phone still had enough battery power to call 911 after 24 hours, and that someone was nearby in a boat and able to save him. This river is powerful enough to kill people and does it with some regularity. This man was very lucky. Things could have turned out much differently. So the message for the rest of us is this: observe, think, and prepare before you do anything in a boat in our area. You can have a great time on the water here if you know what you're doing and accommodate yourself to your surroundings or have the equipment to safely deal with it. Otherwise, like this man, you are taking a great risk, one that you might not be aware of until it's too late, and one that you might not survive to tell about. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.